Hi, you're listening to Rapid Recaps with Jesse. Tonight's recap is of True Blood, Season 2, Episode 8. I have to say, I was a little disappointed in the way the whole Fellowship of the Sun vampire conflict sort of ended. After all this build-up, after all this time, I don't know if it felt anticlimactic, if that's the right word, or if it just felt maybe even a little predictable to have Godric sort of turn out to be this sort of Gandhi-ish, like, well, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, rise to your provocations, and, you know, we can find a better way and things like that. On one hand, it's nice to see a vampire sort of express those sentiments. On the other hand, I don't know, it felt a little off to me, and it, after all this build-up, like, it was pretty much Jason just changed his mind right away, which was shocking, and just sort of strolled in and changed sides, and then everybody who was there just sort of backed off all of a sudden, and I don't know, it was just sort of disappointing that way. But we did, you know, see Sookie get out of trouble and things like that. What was sort of interesting, the one interesting point that I found before they sort of went on their merry way was when Godric was rescuing Sookie, the second in command there, the military guy, said, "Godric, it's me," expressing some kind of weird familiarity. So you do wonder what sort of conversations he was having with the people while he was there. Clearly he wasn't chained up because he was just walking around free. I thought we were maybe free of Bill's Maker, but maybe not, since I saw her in the previews for next week, which was very disappointing, because again, I'm not really thrilled with her either, sort of just the crazy ex-girlfriend who can't, you know, why can't I quit you, you know, sort of sentiment, so that was a little lame. At the end, you know, at least, you know, as much as I complain just now about Jason's easy conversion, on the other hand, I'm kind of relieved because, you know, it's kind of taken two seasons for him to wake up and then sort of see that, vampires aren't all awful, or they're at least no worse than some of the people he's chosen to keep company with. So I guess it is sort of what's lovable and infuriating about Jason Stackhouse is how easily he can sort of flip from emotion to emotion. So the other interesting subplot tonight, well, at the end of that one subplot there, I guess we should mention that Luke came in strapped to a suicide bomb of some sort, since Reverend Newland will not be taking this sort of lightly. Now, I don't know if he really believes he's going to kill the vampires, or if it's just sort of a gesture or an open declaration of war against the vampires there, because I'm not quite sure that a bomb would actually kill a vampire, even if it were maybe packed with wood shards, I guess would be my one guess, or silver shards. So we'll see what the vampires do in response to this sort of terrorist attack on their home there. We'll see if Godric remains so peaceful and loving after his home has been violated, which will be interesting to see how he sort of moves forward. I think I liked Godric better when he was an elf covered in tattoos and, you know, running around seducing Viking warriors. This new, warmer, fuzzy Godric, I don't know about. In my other favorite subplot, that would be the Jessica Hoyt sort of relationship. They've hit a pretty nasty snag because the downside of being turned when you're a virgin, apparently, as a vampire, is that Jessica realizes to her horror that her hymen is still intact and will continue to repair itself. So every time she wishes to sort of consummate her love physically with someone, she's going to have to go through the pain of losing her virginity every single time, which was really poignant and sad and kind of, you know, this funny little thing you don't really think about, but, you know, it makes perfect sense. And so that was a real interesting roadblock for them. So it'll be interesting to see how they sort of move forward with that. And in my least favorite subplot, Tara and Egg continued their weird little dance with their black eyes and Marianne sort of continuing her plot. She has maneuvered Sam in. Sam continues to be the stupidest person, along with Tara, in the world. I kind of hope they find each other in Season 3 and get together, because they should get together and have stupid babies, clearly. Despite the fact that he knows that there's a cult of, you know, Marianne devil worshippers, whatever you want to call them, who clearly wish to sacrifice him in a clearing, you know, with knives and bull masks and all sorts of scary things, he has not left town, and I don't understand that. You know, not the brightest bulb in the box there, that Sam Relot. Similarly, Tara continues to sort of ignore all the signs in front of her with the blackouts and everybody acting strange, and Marianne, you know, apparently being chipper above it all. And so she sort of unwittingly gets fed, along with eggs, pieces of Daphne's heart, which Marianne has sautéed for her thoughtfully with onions and pineapple and other goodies. So we'll see, you know, what the symbolism of that was, or if Marianne's going to unveil her big plot next week, which it certainly looks like she's going to do. So.